This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the 1912 Exiles podcast, the Newport County podcast made by the fans for the fans. I'm Ed, I'm your host today, and I want to start off with a big welcome to any new listeners to the pod. Our episodes this week smashed all records for downloads, with fans clearly wanting to understand what's going on at Newport County amidst all the current ownership discussions. Obviously, since Jamie's interview with John Pratt, which went out on Thursday, we've heard the news that it's going to be the other bid, the one led by Hugh Jenkins, which is the preferred option to be put to members of the Supporters Trust next week. We as a podcast have made contact with Mr. Jenkins, and we are doing our best to get him to come on for a chat, not least because there are going to be a lot of Trust members who can't make Thursday's meeting and will be instructing proxies to cast their ballot, and it'd be good for them, I'm sure, to hear a bit more about his vision for the club. But in the meantime, we wanted to focus matters back onto on the pitch matters, namely by discussing yesterday's 4-1 humbling by Bradford City. And to help me make sense of it all, I'm joined by friend of the pod, Chris Kerwin from the South Wales Argus. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Ed. Voice of doom, you bring me in on these occasions.
Well, I'm going to start off by referring to a really good piece that you have written that came out today about the game, and there's a link to it in the show notes, so do have a look at that, listeners, if you get chance. Because I thought that was a really good balanced perspective. You said that, you know, although you write the bulk of it on the Saturday, you tend to give it a good night's sleep before finalising it. And I think it read as that kind of good balanced objective account of the game. The bit that really leapt out to me was, you know, no one likes to single out players for individual criticism, but people couldn't not notice that the battle yesterday between Declan Drysdale and Andy Cook was the key one. And ultimately, I think many of us came away thinking that it was Cook's strong performance, but also Drysdale's kind of below par performance that led to at least two of those first half goals. And was that the biggest factor in the game yesterday?
It was certainly a major factor, and it was almost a perfect storm, wasn't it, of Drysdale being very, very rusty and Andy Cook being such an important figure for Bradford, who were desperate. I mean, they came to Newport under serious pressure, and he's just a talisman. He scored most of their goals last season. He's a quality player, and his rustiness wasn't as apparent, was it? That's fair to say. And I guess his game isn't built around certain things that dull with being out injured for a while. But Drysdale will know he had a poor game. He got lots of things wrong when battling against a player like Andy Cook. It was sort of contrasting. I'm not saying James Clark had a perfect afternoon by any stretch of the imagination, but when his experience shows when he goes up against the likes of Cook, he knows when not to engage with them and when to go up against them.
So, yeah. I mean, it struck me watching that with no Ryan Delaney, with no Carl Jameson, it was really kind of choose your poison. You know, you've got to choose a centre-back to mark Andy Cook, who can match him in terms of physicality. And although he's not necessarily the quickest, he's still got a burst of pace on him. And on his day, a fully match fit, a fully match sharp Declan Drysdale probably can cope with a player of that talent. I think it was the thing that really occurred to me was that in the first quarter of an hour yesterday, even before the first goal, it looked pretty obvious that Drysdale just was not going to be able to cope with him because he didn't have that sharpness, he didn't have that fitness. And, you know, it was like watching a slow motion car crash almost happening, because you could see he was getting pulled all over the place. And it exposed a weakness, didn't it?
It did. And Andy Cook is a good operator, and he knows how to go at those weaknesses. If Declan had been having a good day, I dare say he would have found something else. That's what he does. The only way I look at it, it'll be, hopefully Declan will be better for that. He's had 90 minutes, a tough time. He's still a relative novice. He's got a lot of attributes that you think could be a good centre half. He just needs to play a lot, and dare I say, he probably needs to play if it was in a back three with James Clark and Ryan Delaney, I think we'd be a lot happier. But that's not the way things are going for County at the minute, is it?
Yeah, we'll probably come on to talk about formations in a moment, because a lot of us are scratching our heads at that. But just on the point about experience, I mean, yeah, Drysdale had a tough game yesterday. The other player who I think didn't cover himself in glory was Adam Lewis. And like you say, these are still relatively young players. But like a lot of our young players at the moment, they're having to play probably more minutes and more regular minutes than would perhaps be ideal because of the injuries that we've got. Do you think Adam Lewis looks like a player who maybe could do with a bit of a rest at this stage and let Matty Bonswell come in and have a go?
I don't know. I like the idea of combining the pair of them, but I get where you're coming from, because, yeah, he's made a few mistakes of late, Adam Lewis, but I'm not sure with him it's a fitness or sharpness or too many games issue, because he is an energetic lad. So I don't know. He's just, dare I say, they're fourth-tier players, and it's going to happen, isn't it?
That, yeah,
you have some runs of form where it's not going for you. And otherwise, let's be honest, he wouldn't have been coming back to County if he didn't have aspects of his game that needed work. The part that was disappointing from him, yes, defensively needs work, but usually his delivery is good, and all day it was off, which
I think, from that aspect,
I think you can put that down to just having a bad day for him, because usually he's spot on with his delivery, and it was high, it was too floated, everything was just not happening for him, whereas that is an area of strength for his.
Yeah.
Defensively, he's always had a few concerns, and I think that's where having a run of games might help him.
I guess the other question about the experience point is, we're clearly short in defence. We've got Jameson out, Matt Baker out, James Clark out now, Drysdale clearly not fully match sharp. And we've got Ryan Delaney back next weekend, but he's returning from a suspension. And we talked a lot in the summer about the versatility of the squad. And I did wonder whether you think we might see a little bit more shuffling, perhaps with Morris or Bennett getting a game at centre-half to try and bridge the gap until we've got a few more options. Because, you know, they were both talked about as, you know, they can play centre-mid, but they can also fill in at centre-back. And is that an option that you think we might look at, or do you think we need their kind of heft in midfield more than we need their experience in defence?
Once again, it's the depth issue. You just can't leave them out of midfield at the minute. There aren't the numbers about Harry Charsley there, and with Wilde coming back. I'm not sure about moving Morris. I'm not sure I see him necessarily as a defender myself. But Bennett's interesting, because he clearly has played there, but he's not been seen as an option for a while, has he? Because, I mean, there was the incident at Crewe where they brought on Josh Seabury early on rather than move Bennett back. So he's clearly not seen as a centre-back by Coughlin.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Seabury came on and did quite well during the bit of time he had on the pitch yesterday. But he's another one, like Lewis, who is going to have good games and bad games. And it's just how quickly we can get him up to speed and consistent, really. But so he's probably not one who's going to be starting anytime soon. But I thought he did his cause no harm yesterday in the spell that he had. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was just about the attacking balance, because in the podcast WhatsApp group, Reese was praising the lovely pass from Waite to Bogle for what turned out to be the consolation goal, and the you know, there's clearly a good understanding between those two players. But it did get us talking about when and how you accommodate James Waite in the starting 11, because physically there are some games where he struggles, but at the same time, his energy and his work rate really fits with that Coughlin DNA. And he does bring an element of creativity. And I just wondered, like, what's your take on, when and how we get the most out of James Wade?
It's interesting. Yeah, he does have good combinations with attacking players. We saw that throughout last season. I remember at Harrogate, he was at the heart of it when one of the good days under James Robey towards the end of his spell. He's lively, isn't he? And that's, there are moments on the edge of the box where you think, you actually want him around things because he can pop it around. He can fire for a shot. I think there was one yesterday, wasn't there, where he didn't quite connect with it on the edge of the box. Whereas if he'd done a Bristol Rovers style finish, you never know. But his problem will always be that, is he better as an impact sub, which Coughlin was using him at the start of the season. He's played in every game in some shape or form. He's only been as a starter of late. And James Wade would hate to be seen as an impact sub, but perhaps County need that because they didn't have that bench impact yesterday. And holding someone back to really be an option to change things up is interesting, isn't it? And that'd be interesting how the progression of Nathan Wood in a similar way, another Penny Bond boy, can he be developed into being an attacking midfield option?
Yeah, I mean, he's one I'm really excited to see, but it's going to be when he's ready rather than us rushing him in, I think. But yeah, I mean, he brings that a little bit more physicality to things, certainly. I mean, the other thing that I thought was interesting in your piece was this point about formations, and we've touched on it already, that are we ultimately going to try and shift back to a 5-3-2, which is what we played relatively well with towards the back end of last season? We shifted it up, and the new system with this kind of four parallelogram two that we've talked about in the pod, it worked well early on, but particularly with this tough run of games, is there value in us just trying to do the thing that Coughlin did when he first came in last season of let's just grind out some results, and if we need to sacrifice some creativity and we need to sacrifice some goals, then let's do it, because actually we just need to grind out some results, grind out some clean sheets, and just do the basics right. The difficulty is we'd be trying to do that at a time when we have a dearth of centre halves. But do you think that perhaps is what we're going to try to do as soon as the situation allows it now?
I think it'll certainly come into the conversation, because that's how they started at Accrington in a 3-5-2, 5-3-2, whatever you want to call it. Just going back on another point, but that's what made Drysdale's performance so frustrating yesterday, was that against Barrow, he did really well when they were in that back-to-the-wall, just clear-it mode. And perhaps County need to get back to an element of that, of just, defend that box with everything, and having three centre-backs in there maybe will help. He'd like to at least have the potential to do it. I just don't think he does at the moment, because as you mentioned, Josh Seabury, there's a lot to his game to like, but he's a teenager. They didn't plan for him to be playing League Two football. I think Graham mentioned him as a project. Ideally, he would have been just learning from them, being around the first team. Instead, he's the first option if there's an injury. So we'll see. There are a few questions about how County approach the Salford game, and he's not going to be making changes necessarily from a position of strength, I don't think.
Well, I mean, that brings me quite neatly actually onto the thing I was going to ask you. I mean, you obviously speak to Coughlin more regularly than most of us do, and he never gets carried away by celebrating victories, and he never gets too down about defeats. But he did seem genuinely cross about the manner of yesterday's defeat. And with this tough set of fixtures that we've got coming up and limited options available to him, how do you think he might inspire a better performance at Salford next weekend?
His track record, him and Joe Dunn, suggest they will get some sort of reaction, because they don't tend to lose successive games, however that is. And that's why I remain confident that they won't go on a horrendous run under him, where you're sort of having loss after loss. I just don't think County like that. I think they've still got the quality in their side to string together results, dig it out. But he was miffed. I think he'll nurse them through. I think he'll calm down, because he does have to do those media interviews shortly afterwards when he's still processing his thoughts. That's not easy. But at the same time, he'll let them know that wasn't good enough.
Yeah. Well, we did put this out to the listeners earlier on today, and we said, what needs to change for County to bounce back next week at Salford? And we had some really good responses in. The most detailed, as you would expect, is from Mark Vickery, who always gives really good insights and analysis. So he was one of several respondents who said they want to perhaps move to a different system, so a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3. He was one who is keen to give Seabury a chance in the team. A few others were talking about maybe Payne coming in. But in both cases, I think there's a feeling that perhaps then what you do is use McLaughlin. A few people said, let me have a look, Dan Grace, I think, suggested it, Hammond as well, that you could try McLaughlin in midfield whilst we're without Harry Charsley, because McLaughlin brings that same tempo and energy and work rate to midfield. So there's a possible option there. We had some other points in. Stu talked about, you know, we're desperate to get everyone fit so that Coughlin can pick exactly the lineup that he wants. We've got this makeshift team every match at the moment. And then that turned into quite an interesting discussion about, yeah, what the bench looks like. You know, Chris Herbert was saying that the backup players we've got are either not good enough or they're young and improving, but not at a rate that is kind of quick enough. And so how do we kind of add to some of that? Let's have a look. What else came in there? Yeah, I mean, the second point that Mark made is a really good one. We've got a very tough few months ahead of us until January, and we just need to dig in. We need to be more resilient first and foremost and yeah, grind out some of these results. There was also a discussion, so this was from Tinty in the Bucket Hats, who said start Ollie Thomas. And I thought this was a fascinating point, because their argument, and I can see the logic of it, is that we got the best out of Will Evans early on in the season when he was up front with Seb Palmer-Holden rather than with Bogle. So if you want to get the best out of Evans, who is the most Seb Palmer-Holden-like player that you've got without him there? And the answer is probably Ollie Thomas, even though, again, he's one who's young and is learning and probably you wouldn't ideally be starting him at this point. But is there an argument to put him up front with Evans, try and get the best out of Evans, and then have Bogle to come off the bench? So even within the sort of tricky, narrow confines that Graham Coughlin has got, there are alternative ideas, Chris, about how you might try to get a different team and a different reaction out of the players next Saturday.
On the Ollie Thomas one, it's interesting, isn't it? Because he's clearly a bit behind Seb Palmer-Holden in terms of his development, hence he was going to be with Yeovil. Do they try and speed that up by giving him games, or do they keep doing what they're doing? I would say that if you're trying to get the best out of someone, you try and get the best out of Omar Bogle, because he's got the track record rather than a good month, as good as Will Evans was, and I'm a fan of Will Evans. Changing to get back to that is an interesting one, rather than Bogle, who's got the track record and I think is genuinely the quality option they've got attacking wise.
I mean, his finish on Saturday was real quality. You know, you could see that with the confidence he had to just go around the keeper and then pass it in.
I think attacking wise, I think Matty Bonswell needs to come into the equation somewhere and just give him a go, because we've seen the past two games they've been given problems down their right by a really, really lively attacking left-sided players. And I think Bonswell is someone who can actually drive with the ball at someone. So I think that would be interesting, especially in an away game like that, where Salford are going to be in the huge pressure. Let's not forget they've been terrible. So do you go there with a pragmatic side, but also with the ability to hit them with someone like Bonswell? That's interesting.
I mean, it's something that I think we said the last pod that we did, where we talked about on the field matters, that as someone who isn't a fan of the Football League trophy in its current format, like, we desperately need some of those games just so that you can actually see how the likes of Bonswell, the likes of Wood, the likes of Thomas get on in 90 minutes, even if it is against a B team or someone else's kind of second string as well, like just to get them having 90 minutes of pro football would do them the world of good. And just the way the fixtures are, we don't get into a lot of those games until we're further into October.
Yeah, I'm not sure Graham Coughlin shares your view on the FL Trophy coming in. That's going to be a real test, because you are right, it's useful for those players, but there's going to be some first teamers as well who are going to have to be flung in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not what you'd be wanting to do in the middle of an injury crisis. I 100% take that point. But because of the number of young players, loan players, and so on, there is an opportunity there, I guess. So we're going to kind of draw things to a bit of a close, because this was only just a quick check-in pod. But let's talk about your player of the pod, and I think we should probably include the Barrow game in that discussion as well. So who's really stood out for you in the last couple of games, Chris?
Tough on the back of Bradford. I'm not sure anyone covered themselves in glory, but I'm always a Scott Bennett fan. I'll go with Scott Bennett. He's done well. And let's be fair, Declan Drysdale was, remember, he did really well against Barrow when he was back to the wall. So, and they're going to need him. So there we
are. Yeah. Well, I really hope that he, when he does next start, and because of the injuries, he probably is going to start again next Saturday against Salford. I do hope that everyone gets behind him and does their best to help him put it behind him and yeah, move on like you talked about. How about shout outs and beefs?
Shout out, Colin Everett. He's had an awful lot to go through, and also I think he's engaging with people as well. I see on Facebook. It's a fair play to him.
Fantastic. Any beefs?
I only have a quick beef, actually. It's people who don't learn the new regulations that have come in. There was people giving the fourth official jip for not letting, I think it was Adam Lewis back on.
Oh, yeah. He has to wait his 30 seconds, doesn't he? Yeah,
he does. 30 seconds. Do your homework. Fans have got to do their homework, I'm telling you.
Yes. We had another new voice, I think, behind the PA system on Saturday. And I thought you did a very good job. It was a very good first game, I think. So whoever you are, well done, welcome, and keep up the good work.
That was Joe Crocker.
Yeah, was it? Was, oh, there you go. Well, yeah, well done, Joe. He did a very fine job, I thought. So good stuff. And I have a beef with referees and linesmen not giving shirt pulls, because yesterday, twice, Ollie Thomas, when he was on the pitch, was clear as day. You know, the first time, I think the defender had his arms round Ollie's waist. And the second time, he was virtually pulling the shirt off his back and nothing was given. And there are some things in life and some things in football that I'm kind of willing to overlook. But that is a clear foul, and the referee and linesman could see it and didn't give it, and it drives me mad. Well, thank you, Chris, for coming on for a chat. Hopefully we will get you on again soon when we do our traditional kind of deep dive into County's start to the season. We tend to do that after 10 games, but for reasons that I think we talked about before, we're going to wait a little bit longer this season because of the way the fixtures have come out. I think we'll probably do that that analysis probably later on in October, once we think we can start to divine some real insights from the start of the season. So thank you for coming on, Chris.
No problem at all.
We will be back this week, hopefully with an interview with Hugh Jenkins, but definitely with some reaction to Thursday's meeting. So make sure that you are subscribed to the pod so that you never miss an episode, and do leave us a nice review if you like what we do. You can also donate the price of a cup of coffee towards our running cost. And again, you will find a link in the show notes that will help you to do that. But in the meantime, thank you all for listening. Look out for each other. Look after yourselves. And above all, keep it counting.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.